everyone, this is Linda Rennie, the founder and the president of Sanction Love Ministries. The purpose of these podcasts is to bring the heartbeat of Jesus' ratifying love to you through the teachings, interviews, current topics, and much more. We plan to cover deep and sensitive topics to create a hunger to know the lover of our souls, who he is in us and who we are in him. So sit back and incline the ear of your heart to the pursuit of the pursuer himself. You know, it's our natural, our really authentic DNA is really to live supernaturally. That's really the natural way we should be, right? It's not really that we are natural and we get to sometimes operate in that. We are really supernatural. We get to operate in the natural, right? Because we're really not of this world. But a lot of times we're in this world, but we're not of it. But the world gets in us, and that's why we have to constantly be drinking and to be refilled. And the word says be being filled. It means a continuation. It doesn't mean that you just take one sip and then you're filled. It's just like character, right? You can't live on yesterday's character. I used to be like that, but I've kind of sloughed off into this and lowered my standards. Character has to be a standard so that when you are presented as a pure and holy vessel before the Father, their fire can come through a pure vessel. So is there a requirement to flow in the gifts? Yeah, there is a requirement. But it's given not because you earn it. It's given freely. But the requirement is a consecrated life. It's a fasted life. It's a life that's surrendered and sold out. The gifts don't come and go. They stay and they abide. Now, whether or not we operate in those gifts and whether or not we choose to operate in those gifts is really up to us. The Holy Spirit chooses when, but if you're not yielded or having an ear always being led, like Pastor talked about last night, you know, those that are sons and daughters in Romans are led by the Spirit of God. It's really about being adopted sons and daughters, that we have the inheritance through the blood of Jesus, that we got a gift. They are the Holy Spirit's gifts. They're not our gifts. It says the gifts of the Spirit. So it's just like, think of it this way. If I were to have a really pretty package in my hand right now, and I'm the Holy Spirit, and Susie Q is standing here, and I say, Susie Q, I want you to give a tongue and interpretation. I'm going to hand you this gift right now. You're going to unwrap it and use it. Now, would you not ever unwrap it? I'm like, my love language is gifts, just so you know. And so I get so excited. I love giving gifts, and I love receiving gifts. And so I love, it's like when the Holy Spirit says to receive, you can receive a gift from him. You get to be the one that unwraps someone's heart and reveal it to them. In the 80s, I think, you know, or way back, people would get up and they would prophesy. And I think that we've heard had so much damage in the gifts, and people are kind of like, whoa, freaky, freaky. And, you know, they're kind of sketchy. And even though gifts are expressive and gifts look different, it doesn't mean that they are ever not for the edification, exhortation, and comfort. So when the Holy Spirit might show you something with a word of knowledge, which is for people, places, or things, and for the present, he might say, like the lady with the yellow sweater we talked about, I didn't give the illustration, So when you're learning to hear and operate in the gifts, and you're learning to operate in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gift of prophecy, gifts of healing, signs and what, tongues and interpretation, all the nine gifts, you practice hearing, right? So he'll give you signs along the way. So if you hear, buy a yellow sweater, okay, well, Lord, well, I don't know what size. Well, ask me what size, because the invitation is always what he wants to have. He wants to be invited to the question, right? So if you're learning to move, if you're just trying to figure it out on your own and you're never inviting the gift giver into the equation of the one who gave it in the first place, then you lean on your own understanding and people get hurt. And then we get puffed up and we think, well, I did it and they didn't receive it, and well, too bad for them. I gave them a word and they didn't receive it. I know, and they'll just have to deal with it. Jesus never did that. Pride has never come in the manifestations of the comforter. And so we are a vessel of honor because he is the one that honored us to even have the privilege. And so when someone comes, you might say, you know, you might see something. Let's say you're praying for someone and you see, wow, this person has been sexually abused. We often see when we travel, we minister to leaders or we minister to women or men all over. And we often see, I mean, right? Men have been abused. There's rape in women. It's just across the board. You see things by the perception. Why does the Holy Spirit? Because he has to trust the integrity of your heart to reveal a secret. Why is it a secret to get a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge? Why is it a secret to get the word of prophecy? Which, when you get a word of prophecy, doesn't mean you're a prophet. There's a difference. And when he entrusts the integrity of your heart, because you can steward mysteries and secrets, why is it a secret? Because it's a secret. And you invite Jesus to come in through the back door and say, okay, I want to tend to the person's heart, but I don't want to expose them so it brings shame. So wisdom would say, wisdom has to be your friend and your counselor, and you're always in tune. Just use me as with this gift. How you steward a gift, you better have white gloves on your hands, because flesh cannot touch the gift of God. But in that, it can be fun, and then it can be expressive, and it can be joyful. It doesn't have to be legalistic and one way and some formula will, like, well, that's not out of the King James. Oh my gosh, she read out of the passage or the Passion. Holy kimonies, that's terrible. Jesus has expressions of the Spirit. He laughed, he cried. I mean, read, it's amazing. It's like, just enter into the story of the love story of the book. And when it's revealed in your heart, he sings over it and he dances through you. I mean, joy dances over people. We're going to have an example of a prophetic illustration that brings freedom into an identity. He's always about restoring identity of sons and daughters to the gifts of God. Always. It's never about your agenda. It's never about, I want to be used. I want to be used. I want to be used. Yes, you have the desire to be used. But when you bully your way through and I have a part, you're trained in the correct posture of submitted heart in a low, humble place. And you come low. Always Jesus comes low. Honor has to be first and foremost. Jesus said, when a guest comes in, you take the lowest seat. And when we operate in the gifts, because they are his gifts to us, and yes, we can operate in all nine of them. Paul did. The gifts of the Spirit were in the Old Testament too, except for tongues and interpretation. That was for the New Covenant. So the Holy Ghost was in the Old Testament. I heard that and I was like, oh goodness, let's see. I'm going to read my Bible in my heart. Genesis. I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament manifesting. And so when we operate in these things, the word of wisdom is for future. And you can start to learn how the Holy Spirit is navigating. He breaks the power gifts up. He breaks these nine gifts up into three categories. And I know a lot of you know this, but some say, some do, and some reveal. And it's for always the edification and the exhortation and for the comfort. And the Holy Ghost is the best teacher. You just say, okay, I'm ready to learn. Let's sit at the table and sit in the classroom and come and teach me how to stir up my gifts. And I'm going to be brave. And this is what we say. One time we were back in Reno. I think we were in Reno. And we were ministering at this church. And I think it was just Sandy and Marcy and I at this trip. And there was, they wanted us to come up front and just start praying over people. And Sandy, she says, you know, I love this because we've been doing this, you know, we do, it's like our cry, right? It's just, I love it. It's just, what can we do with Jesus today? And, but she says to a group of young kids, she's like, hey, I'm just learning this stuff, so give me grace, and I'm just going to step out here, and if I miss it, I miss it, but it was in the humility of it that she was like, I'm learning to be brave in my very specific articulation. So they knew that they could come and hear a word, and she started just calling out, boom, boom, boom. Boom. And then I got up, boom, boom. And Marcy got up, boom, boom. And then she gets up and she says, and there was this gentleman that was sitting in the across the room, and he looked like a businessman. I mean, he had a suit and a tie, and he was groomed to the nines, and he just looked like an executive. And all of a sudden it was like, and you over there are to be connected with them over here. And you need to have a relationship. And this whole thing just started to array. He had moved from the other side of the United States to come to this side to live in Nevada so that he could be a youth pastor that had been carrying the vision of the heart of the youth in that specific city for this group of guys. And they were all foster guys. And they were all just broken guys that were just trying to do the journey. But hope came. It wasn't that they pulled out the pain of these guys' heart and said, well, you've been in jail, you got a DUI, and you were rugged. Now, when we ministered privately, we went into those places. But then when there was a combination, it brought confirmation to the story of their own heart. And if somebody is in your presence, they need to hear the story of God through you for them. How do you know you're not holding a gift that's for the appropriate time and the appropriate moment? Don't hold on to the gifts and feel that they're just for you. I mean, last night I said, I love the grocery store, or I love the mall, or I love, you know, sometimes I just love driving. I'm like, okay, Lord, let's hang out today. Okay, so show me on the side of the road who I can stop and talk to. Because I want to stay in the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit. So I pull up, my husband's always like, I'm not so sure I want you doing this. Could you pick a safer place? But anyway, you can stop and you can think, oh, there's a lady at the egg counter. Jesus, what would you want me to say to her? What would you want me to whisper from your heart? What would you love on her with? It's amazing how a kiss from heaven will come and you will touch a heart and she'll just go, how did you know that? Oh, Jesus, he's so great. He's awesome. See ya. Ask him. before, you know, ask him, Lord, I want to get names. I want to get places. I want to get numbers. I want to get the specifics. Why? So that the unbeliever will know that you're a believer. It is an example that God is good. Sometimes an unbeliever will go, how did you know that? Well, let me tell you about my King Jesus. Just like Pastor talked about the person on the plane. Reveal the giftings and callings so that it is a sign and a wonder, because signs and wonders will follow those that believe. And where's our baseline of faith? So that we can operate in the signs and the wonders and lay hands on the sick and see them recovered. Where's our expectancy? We are a charismatic church. Do you know the word charismatic came from charis, which means gifts? That's why we're charismatics. And Pentecost is Jubilee, and it's from Pentecost. Fire fell. Fire falls. So when I was 11, I was raised Catholic, and I went to a Bible study, and I was like, my sister got totally radically changed, raised, saved in Jesus movement. And I remember just going, I want that. I want that. I want that. And I sat on the end of the bed, and I received Jesus. She said, do you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Oh, heck yes. I want that too. I want that too. And I was so hungry. And I had this big Catholic Bible, and I would go with these older people, and I would go to the Bible study, just me. And I was 11, and I didn't know what they were talking about. We were in Leviticus, and I had no idea what Leviticus was. They have weird things in Leviticus. But I was so hungry. I was so thirsty at 11 years old. I mean, the gifts, there is not a junior Holy Ghost, right? Megan would sit on my lap when it was little, and I would just prophesy over her. You're going to worship. You're going to sing to the nations. I knew it in my belly, and I'd lay hands, and I'd just prophesy over my children. Prophesy over the gift that God's put in the tangible life that's before you. Our words are life and death. They prophesy. And so when I was got saved and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I had a testimony and made horrible mistakes and just ups and downs and ins and outs and just a mess. But I stayed, my cry was always, I wanted Jesus. And even though there were thorns that came and punches in life that wanted to take me out and steal my voice, the gift giver was the one that sustains you. And so years and years passed, and about 11 years ago, I went through a very time where I really did lose my voice. And the Lord began to teach me about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, even though I had prayed in tongues and was baptized since I was 11. And so I was, you know, in my 40s at that time. And I went through a time where if you were to throw me up in the air, I would be like confetti, and you couldn't put two pieces. I couldn't find me in anything. And the Lord said to me, I want you to pray in the Spirit. And that's all I want you to do. I just want you to pray in the Spirit. And I would get around people. People thought I was really shy and quiet. And I couldn't even say anything. I would get around my girls, and I couldn't pray. All I could pray was in tongues. And I was so damaged, and I was so wounded, and I had so much pain and so much horrifying things. And he said, I want to take you through the book of Acts, and I want to show you, I'm going to heal you through this. Tongues is something, and I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, but just for the sake of time, I feel like the Lord really does want me to go here for the explanation of this. In the verse 10, it starts about tongues, but in Acts, it talks about how they came together in the upper room and they tarried and they waited there, and there was 120. And in that room, there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind and fire like cloves, like tongues of cloven fire fell on each one. And the Lord started to say, I'm going to heal you through this. I'm going to restore who you are into your full identity and release you. And God is not a duplicator. And so everybody got their own tongue, their own fire aflame on their head. Nobody got the same tongue. And he started to say, I want to teach you about your language. And he said, this is what is written as wallpaper in heaven, is tongues. And I want you to, it's your native tongue. And I want you to start learning your native tongue because you are speaking way too much carnal knowledge into your circumstance. And so he said, and do I talk to you like a typewriter? I said, no, I don't think you do. And he said, do you go up to, you know, I wouldn't go up to Hannah and say, hi, Hannah, how are you today? It was very good. It's nice to meet you. And I really love you so much. And I just love you. And you're just awesome. And you're an amazing drum player. And I just really, would you even know?
Sold.
Sold. Right. And he's like, is that a language? I want you to learn to interpret your tongue. I want you to have a language that you can hear my sound and know me through the language. And so I started going, okay, I'm going to slow it down. And I'm going to put one ear of faith so connected. I'm going to do it with all my might because I need healing. I need restored because I'm so broken. And God just said, talk to me in my tongue. And so I said, okay. So I came like a child with faith. And I said, Horasta kondombreke kuvushlamaste. And I'd weep, and I'd weep for hours. And my husband would get up and he'd say, it's 2 a.m. It's 3 a.m. I gotta learn my native tongue. Because desperation brings fire. I wasn't willing for my vessel to be full of muck and mire any longer. I wanted to be refined by fire. I wanted to be refined by fire. And I said, if you said to die is to gain, then if I don't gain Christ, then I no longer live, but the life I now live, I live according to the word of a living God. Then it's not worth it. And so he started to teach me. And he started to say, now interpret. Now interpret your, pray that you might interpret your tongue. And so I would pray and I would interpret. And then I would interpret and then I would pray. And I would interpret and then I would pray. And I would learn that my identity was getting restored. And all of a sudden I felt like, wow, the picture of my life looks so different than it did before because the confetti pieces started to come back into pieces, but it was melded together with the gold of the Holy Ghost. And so I... would hear him counsel me, not of this world, Because the discernment of spirits, you know, it means to see. It's not a discerning like you have a perception. It's discernment of spirits, which means a human spirit, an evil spirit, or angels. So you can see, like Daniel, he perceived in that world, and he also saw in this world, and he helped his servant come and see too. So discernment of spirits, when your eyes of your heart have been enlightened to truth, and you can see into the other realms, right? And sometimes you get to share those things, and sometimes you don't get to share those things. Remember that it's a mystery and that it's once hidden for a reason. So you always are in the ask when you're operating in the spirit. You're always in that vein of surrender, of that it's not my will so that I can be seen. Oh, look what I heard from God. Sometimes the motive of our heart is so deceptive that we don't even know it. And so it's really stewarding the gift in a pure way. And it's not about arrogant. It means that, you know, Paul prayed, pray that I would be bold. Paul prayed that. And so you can pray that you would be bold in the operations and the demonstrations and in the giftings of the Holy Ghost. Because it all comes from intimacy, and it all comes, you know, that I may know him, Paul said, and be earnestly and intimately more acquainted with him. So that the desire of my heart is like, search me and know me and see if there's anything in me that is not honorable or clean or true. Would you search me and know me? Because your ways are not my ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Isaiah said it, Father, and I'm decreeing it too. Oh, 1,000 years later, looking to and throughout me, you have access to every ounce of me, and I trust you that I can give it to you so that you could replace it with a gift. Because he will change it through you to deliver it for someone else's deliverance. He will. That's why he wants to set us free. That's why he wants to give us the gifts. That's why he wants us to say, hey, do you have a son named Joe and he's 13 years old? What? Yes. Oh my gosh. And you're just as excited too, going, oh my gosh, this is crazy, Father. This is awesome. Because you know that you had nothing to do with it. You're just as in shock as he is, you know? But it's so fun. It is. You know, this might seem basic. I hope it doesn't seem basic. But it's the practical where our rubber has to start meeting our road. Because we have a car to drive and the body of Christ is on the move. And we have to get to the destination in the spirit where we're going. And we have to get there by the gifts and by intimacy and by relationship and by koinonia and by stewarding who we are in the Word. You can't know the Word if you're not in the Word. Pastor Jim's messages are awesome. But they cannot sustain you for 7 days a week. Those who abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I sought you and I found you. I inclined and you heard me. You wanted to know me and you found me. So anyways, I would drive. I live out a ways. And he started teaching me about my mind in tongues. And he said, now, I'm going to start revealing the thoughts that you have that are not of me. And I'm going to start healing your mind through this. I said, okay, Lord. And he said, I want you to do a prophetic act. And I want you to drive down the road like this. And I want you to hold your sword out. And I want you to pray in tongues. And I'm going to show you a thought that you need to take captive and bring it into the obedience of God's word. And I'm going to put it's like a sword in that note that on the end of it's going to be a sticky note. I'm seeing this. And on is the thought that you have in your mind that I want to be brought into the captivity of the word of God and brought into obedience. Because it's holding you captive, and I'm going to have the language of your heart override the untruth. And so I'm not kidding. I had the strongest right arm. I would drive because I had millions of thoughts that were just nuts. And so I would drive like this down the road. I'm sure people were like, what in the heck? And I would just drive, picturing my sword, picturing the word of God, which is your sword. It's the authority divide between sword, soul, spirit, bone, marrow, reveals the intentions of your heart, right? That's what the Word of God does. And it brings a thought captive. Boom. I put the sticky note thought. Boom. And I bring it into the obedience of the Word. And the Lord would download the Word to bring the authority over that thought, and I would get free. And it was like day after day after day. I can't remember if it was Pastor Jimmy or somebody said, you have thousands of thought. I'm thinking, I got millions of thought, honey. I don't have just thousands. It was atrocious. And I was like, I'm a mess, Father. And I would drive day after day after day, and he would help me restore my mind. He would help me renew my thoughts. He would help me bring my flesh into the obedience and under the subjection of the Holy Ghost. Because if I was to die is to gain, I had to welcome the death. And I had to lay down willingly. And I had to say I could surrender because I wanted to sing, I surrender all. And not just do it because it was a church thing, and not just do it because it was a formula, and not just do it because Susie Q expected me to, or I looked good, or I looked bad. I wanted to be a blubbering mess. I wanted to be sold out lover. I wanted to be a laid down person that says, you can use me if you can have anything, God. You can have me. Burn me up, God. I don't care. I don't care if you bypass me, but use my life however it is. You gotta do it. You gotta have me. I gotta have you. You are my all in all. I gotta have the restoration of the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I gotta have it. And I gotta have your heart for the nations. You know, the first thing when the Acts came and Peter came out and he preached his first gospel message, there were 3,000 people that got saved. And if you study that all the 19 nations, it says the whole earth was represented. So Iran and Iraq heard the gospel on the first day of Pentecost. Nations are on the mind of the Holy Ghost. It's the first thing. And they said, are they drunk? They all heard. And you know, when it says they all were singing the praises of God, they weren't just saying, praise God, praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Just lift. This means kind of praise. This means they didn't have any of that. It said that they talked about the wonderful works of God. They were decreeing it. You couldn't help it, because when fire comes and it shuts up in your bones and it changes nations and it sets upon you, you talk about the wonderful working power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It changes you. It changes you. It's awesome. It's awesome. I want to be filled. I want to be continually. Just put me right there, Father, and let me drink so rivers of living water. You know, the only thing that comes out of the throne of God is a life-giving river of God. It's the Zoe life of God. There's no imperfections. There's no mixture. There's no mixture. There's no mixture in the river of God. There's no identity of man in it. It is the purity. It is the clarity. It is the consecration of the Zoe. Oh, a life of a living God. That's what wants to flow through you. Life-giving. Freedom. It's for all generations. There is a move for people that are over 50. There is move. You have not been set aside. You have not been waylaid. You have not. There is a need for your voice in this hour and in this moment like never before. There is a need for the older generation. It's the Elizabeths and the Mary generations coming together. And you will respect, and you'll hear the birth of it'll leap within you. The gift of God will leap what you're carrying from one generation to the next. The Mary's generation, the Elizabeth's generation. They'll see him far off, and they will not be in competition, and they will not think that the younger don't have something to say, and they won't think that the older are too old and they've gone. They have a voice, and it is to be honored. But the young ones have a sound that is fresh too. But the two are going to come together. And so anyways, I think I just came across this random teaching. I don't even remember how, but you guys can look it up. Her name is Caroline Leaf, and she's a neurosurgeon. You guys have known it. So it had just been out. Like, I didn't even know. And he starts, so he's talking to me. I'm going to heal your mind. I'm going to restore. I'm bringing connectivity back to your thoughts. I'm teaching you all of this stuff. And I started to have hope again, and my voice started to go, I think I can hear who I am now. And out of the ashes, I started to rise. And anyway, she's a neuroscientist doctor, and they've done a study, and it's not just in her study, but there's another study that's in Pennsylvania, and many, many different universities have done the study. Well, they have taken people that are all over the world and different books. First, they had them cooked up to their mind with, what are they called? Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, yeah. What do they call any? Yeah, those things. And they would monitor on their mind when they would read. So they would read the Quran in their mind. The reading on the screen would be on their frontal lobe, because your frontal lobe is your reasoning. You have 7 spherical realms, layers in your brain. And so then they would read the Bible. And they would have every religion read, and they would hook different people who believe different belief systems, and they would hook them up, and they would read, and they would say, okay, now read, and the doctors would read. Now, this is over a 25-year study, so it's just not like one person they decided to hook up, okay? And they would hook them up, and every person that read the Bible, the thing would go, ooh, 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 ooh. But every other religion would be, because the Bible is what? Living and active. It divides between your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your spirit. Your bone, your marrow reveals the intentions of your heart, right? So it is doing something. You cannot read the Bible and it not change you. You think you can, but you can't. And then they said, okay, now we're going to do all the different forms of prayer. So they would hook them up, and they would pray to Hare Krishna or Buddha or, you know, Hindu. When we were in India, oh my gosh, they have millions of gods. I was like, how do you keep them all straight? I'd be so confused. Like, oh my goodness, there's millions of gods over there. And so they would pray. Now pray to this, and it would just be like, So your 7th sphere is right from here in your brain. It's your linguistical sphere in your brain. And this is your reasoning. So in Corinthians, where it says, have you ever heard where it says, pray in tongues and your mind would be unfruitful? And you think, well, yeah, you know, I pray with my understanding and I pray in the spirit and I sing with my understanding and I sing in the spirit. And I'm just, you know, praying from here. But I just think. But the deeper understanding, so they're hooking them up. And when they hook up, the 7th sphere of the brain completely shuts down your understanding. Because your spirit is praying and overrides, and your mind becomes unfruitful. So I pray in a tongue. I pray in a language that is not of this world. And you pray in a tongue that is your native tongue. It's clinically, professionally proven that your mind in the linguistical, in the understanding, shuts down so that your spirit can pray the mysteries of God. I saw that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you lead me into all truth and you direct my path. This is so true. Because for months and months, he had been teaching me on healing my mind and healing the brokenness of the abuse and the pain and the PTSD and all the things that I've had in my life over and over and over and over. And he gave me a tongue that is not of this world that healed my mind. And it was the discipline of the hunger that said, if I don't lean on my understanding and I acknowledge you in all of my ways, you will direct this path and you will make it straight. His ways are so higher. We say these things, but there is a leaning that's not on your understanding. His thoughts are really not our thoughts. There are ways of the Spirit that we can live and move and have our being in him. We operate. We are a spirit being, and we have a body, and we have a soul, but we first are a spirit. And these gifts are in our hand for such a time. When you see something, when we went to India, we were going way out into this dirt road. I mean, for hours and hours in the van. It was like the driver that we were with got lost. And I remember Marcy going, well, this puts rural into a whole new definition. I mean, it just got quiet. And we're just like, I mean, it was pitch black. And all of a sudden, I'm like, Lord, what's happening? And I saw in the spirit a tarantula that was over this whole territory that we were in. So did I say that? Would wisdom say, hey, guess what, guys? There's a tarantula, and it's in the spirit, and it's over us, and it's over this territory. And don't be afraid, though. Don't be afraid. So wisdom would be invited and to say, oh, greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. And so we just take authority over that. And even if it's a principality, we have assignment to do in the spirit. And so in the discernment of spirits, you know, it's much fun, more fun to see angels than it is demons. I'm like, Lord, I never saw demons before. I really don't want that. You can keep that, and that's great for somebody else. But I really like the angel part. And he's like, well, it's as the Spirit says. Oh, yeah, I forgot that part in the Bible. So if you ask, be ready to receive, right? Because it's according, signs and wonders follow those that believe. So when you believe, you receive, and you can speak, and it manifests. So we go in, and there's a there's this spirit, and it's dark. We find the location, and it's like the pollution and the haze in this. And we get up on the platform, and there's an open-air meeting, and there's just a crowd of people. And it's like, whoa. I mean, there is stuff floating. You can tangibly see stuff floating in the air. It was crazy. The smells were atrocious because there is so much demonic activity. And so, anyway, we get up and we're just like, well, we're going to operate in the gifts. We're going to preach the gospel and bring freedom because there is life or death in the power of our tongue. And we're just going to declare life into this. So where we operate in the gift, you operate in life. You don't focus on darkness because light dispels darkness. And so you might in wisdom say, hey, this is what's happening. This is what's on. You might tell your team. So you know how to be a company and come into the unity of the brethren and know how to operate in warfare, right? But you don't announce it. And so then Marcy gets up and Melissa and Joy and Sandy, we were all up on there. And Marcy said, there's a lady here that has a swollen foot and it's really infected. It's her right foot. And it's like pus is coming out. And so the lady comes out. There she is. Her foot's like, ooh, that's yucky. And so she lays hands on it. And we declare that the foot would be healed. And she says, when you wake up in the morning, there's going to be 100% restoration. The pastor called and said, that foot is completely healed. The power of God. So there was a miracle of healings, which is one of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, raising the dead, miracles of hips being replaced, metal coming out of heads. There was, just all kinds of things. things that the Lord is operating in this time, in this hour. Broken arms healed, you know, restorations of healing, supernatural healings, cancers healed. Our friend had a cancer on her leg. I mean, a tumor that was like this big and about that high, and another teammate laid her hands on it and said, be healed in Jesus' name, and the tumor left her leg. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit to operate in the gift of miraculous, in the miracles. All of them. It's as he wills. If he says, today, I want you to operate, I want you to, and you're like, well, I don't operate in that gift. It's not for me. Well, I used to operate in that. Now I don't operate in that anymore. No, 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 no. He doesn't come and go. You stir it up. Stir it up. So keep it alive. Say, I am just a willing, yielded vessel. Not my will, but yours wills be done. Would you train me and grow me and mature me in the activation and the assistance of the Holy Ghost? Amen? So tongues is something that is not of this world, but it is not weird. And it's a language that grows. You know, you might start out in preschool, or when I first started trying to study Hebrew, you know, you're like, I literally bought preschool tapes and put them on and went, and when tongues, it's a language that you start to learn, and he starts expanding it as a language. It's one of the utterance gifts. It's an inspiration gift, and it says something. The inspiration gifts is prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. And the Bible says that we are to covet these and desire spiritual gifts. In one of the translations, it says, covet it like your life depends on it. Pursue it like you pursue love, like your life and the last breath depend on coveting to flow in the Holy Ghost, to partner with the Godhead, to be in relationship. If we say that our life is not our own, then whose life is it? And what is the expression and what are we focusing on? There's always two purposes of tongues. You have your personal prayer tongue that's in your own language. It's for the edification of you. It's the one I just talked about, my own private, or when you're praying and you're hearing. But on Sunday, last Sunday, we had a demonstration in this house, and it was beautiful to behold. It was a tongue, and then there was a waiting, because the Bible says if you have a tongue, then pray that you may interpret. But if you don't interpret, then there should be an interpreter if it's in the house, right? So that's exactly what happened. It was completely in order. And there was fruit that came out of that. I would let the pastor, I don't know if I would be at liberty, but just that there's fruit that come and there was confirmation that came. It's always to bring fruit, right? You will know them by their fruit. The gifts are always in between. The Corinthians, you know, it's always in between the pursuit, and love is right there. You cannot operate in the gifts if you don't have love. Because I can prophesy. What do you mean, Jesus? I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils. I laid hands on the sick. I saw all these things. Signs and wonders flowed through me. And he said, depart from me. I never even knew you. Why do you think that is? Because the word know is intimacy. I never had koinonia. I never had face-to-face, breath-to-breath, heart-to-heart. I never had one-on-one hunger with you. Yeah, you operated because it's as the Spirit wills. And, you know, your gifts are irrevocable. It doesn't come and go. So if your character isn't again, you know, I go back to that. But it doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you have to be like, oh my gosh, if I don't perfect, I don't use. No, fear keeps you. That's why Peter said, I didn't give you, you know, Paul said to Peter, I didn't give you a spirit of I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but power and a sound mind. Why? Because he needed him to be operated in who he was. So fear can't keep you. Well, I'm not good enough. I don't have identity enough. Oh, they're better. No, be brave and don't let fear dictate how you operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The language of tongues is given out of heaven into your human spirit as you are baptized by the Holy Ghost, by Jesus. You receive a supernatural language as evidence that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it is a supernatural language. It is a vocal miracle. It's a vocal. You steward it. If you don't add faith when you're praying in tongues, then you can just be, you know, our mind learns tongues. You can just be like, and I'm not even engaged. But when you position yourself out of reverence, because you honor the gifts, when you steward the gift of the Holy Ghost and you steward tongues and it comes out and you're expecting to receive a language that you hear, it will come out and it'll probably be, there's lots of times I might be praying and I'll call, Lord says, call so-and-so. And I pick up the phone and I'll be, Father, I'll just pray. And they're like, hello, hello. And then they're like out. And I mean, it's so fun to partner with the Holy Ghost. Add your faith to your gifts. Don't just take it for granted and just be like, I'm not doing it, but I pray in tongues. Steward it. Don't be a typewriter. Don't be a machine gun. Steward. Expect that your language and even the sound that comes through you. One time I was somewhere, I don't know where, but somewhere, and someone said, oh my gosh, did you know that you were speaking this complete dialect? Nope, I did not know that. Yeah, and you said this and this and this and this. Expect it. It's according to the measure of your faith. So the Lord heals our minds. He's the best counselor. The Holy Spirit is the counselor. He's your advocate. He's your intercessor. He's your best friend. He's holy. He's not a whim or a wisp or something that's out there. He's a person of the Godhead. And he wants to have a conversation with us. And he wants it to be real. And he wants us to say, hey, you're my expression in the earth, and I need you right now. There's a broken person over there, or I need you in your job because there's a strategy that I can't get into the earth. You know, we have heard this, right? That the reason why the world got some of the inventions is because the Christians didn't position themselves in prayer to pray them out. And so, you know, what is on the inside of you that needs to be released that once was hidden but now can be revealed? It's called a mystery. What's a dream and what's a desire? What's a passion that you've laid down that if you were to breathe with the breath of the fire of the Holy Ghost and that would burn like embers upon, like stir up the gift so that it creates a fireplace and a vacuum. And when you create a vacuum, it's just going to suck in everything of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God so that it can come out of you. What is inside of you that you don't even know, that you're like, wow, I never dreamed I would be doing this. A dream is a dream your heart makes when you're fast asleep. What is a dream that's laying? Where have you laid down and said, I'll never do that? Where have you given up in the language of your native tongue and your true identity of who you are in Jesus? What could be stirred up with you and with the fire of God? Maybe it's something because he wants you to die to it so that he could rebuild it in his image. Maybe it's something, you know, for years, this has been a dream since one of the first ever prophecies was Shirley Shea, and it was just a little girl over my life. But I am just now getting to do something that's burned in my heart, and I had to die to it over and over and over and over because it could never own me. And the Lord would just say, who's mastering who? Does your dream master you over that I'm your master? Because if it comes above me and I can't reveal that to you as you posture yourself in prayer and intimacy, but you hold on to it because you think I'm going to take it from you and I'm never going to give it back, and you're not willing to even if I don't give it back, then dying is never going to be the true gain. So it's not so that we have these gifts. You know, you can lay hands on yourself and see yourself healed. You can cast out demons in his name. You can do these. You can have the revelation gifts operating. You can have the power gifts. And you can have the utterance gifts, all nine of them. What is in your heart that he is so desiring through this conference to connect you to by fire again? What is it? Nobody can answer that except for you and Jesus and the Holy Ghost. What's been laying on the inside of you that you are so desperate for, but you allowed and you thought it was an Isaac, but God never provided a ram? Sometimes he doesn't provide a ram because he wants to know if you're willing, just like Abraham. Because if we sing, I want to be tried by fire, purified, and we ask for the cloven tongue of fire on our head, we ask to operate in this new wineskin where things look different, we can't bring in all the yesterdays. What is it on you that needs to come and be revived and refreshed for this time? There's an assignment in this community. There's an assignment in your neighbor. There's an assignment in your job. There's an assignment in your finances. Our finances are not ours. Our finances are his. And how does the Holy Ghost want to have you have them flow, you know, moving through you? Our life isn't our own. And if we are to operate as charismatics or Pentecostals or whatever name, just children of the King, then we should look in a mirror and we should reflect him and say, I want to be like the image and the likeness of you. I don't want to turn away, like Paul said, and I forget what I look like in the mirror because I forgot what it said about me in the Word. And the Word said, man, you're going to cast out demons in my name. You're going to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You're going to lay hands on the dead and they're going to raise. I do believe that in this hour we're going to see more dead people raised from the dead. I believe that I'm just going to be brave and bold to say this, but I believe that that young girl that didn't get raised from the dead at Bethel, I believe she was a seed. Then and when they paid a price, but I believe that there is going to be bodies raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Ghost, and that it's going to be for the harvest. It's going to be for the harvest in this time like never before. I believe the signs and wonders for the glory of the King, for the glorification of the kingdom. Oh, that we would operate not just in the kingdom, but that we would operate to bring glory to the King. I believe it like never before, that the fire is going to fall. It's such a new sound and a new wave in the Spirit. Spirit of the living God is about to be released through this house and through this territory like never before. What seed needs to fall and die so that it can spring new life in our lives? I believe that there is coming a revival through. It is a refuge city. It is a refuge city. It is a fire of the city. It's going to be about the harvest. Why does gifts flow? It's about the gospel. It's about the gospel. The gospel was preached 3,000. 2 weeks later, then it was to the Gentiles at 5,000. The gospel, the fire fell. The operation and the demonstration and the expressions of the Holy Ghost were moving. We're moving because hunger was in the land and thirst was in the rivers. I pray that we would not come casual to the house of God. I pray we would not come casual to the house of God. What can they feed me? What can they give me? I pray that we would come with an expectancy of a contrite, hungry heart. God is in the body. God is in the house. Father, may you look to and fro, and may there be so many hands that would raise their hand and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Use me. You can have it all, God. You can have it all. You can go to the very corner that I don't want to show you, Father, and you can have it, and I surrender it. With your love, I will love others. And even though, Father, it costs me something and it hurts, I'm going to trust you. Teach me to move in the power of the Holy Spirit so that it brings glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Because the power of the blood requires it over our lives. There was a price that was paid so that we can operate in the operations of the Holy Ghost. Operations. There are operations. There are many operations. And angels are on assignment for this time like never before. They've been waiting in heaven to be released right now for this timeline in the earth. And they are coming. Oh, they are coming. Hey, they're coming. Oh, I pray for the discernment gift. I pray for the gifts of discernment that eyes now would be open to see from that side into this side. I pray that we would be ministering spirits of fire, working together like Hebrews talks about. Flames of fire, Father. Bring your flames, ministering spirits of fire. Breathe on dreams. Breathe and breathe dreams. May a brush of angels' wings heal this. Oh, heal in this house now in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that you would send healing power right now. Healing power, healing power. I speak to cancers in Jesus' name. Now, be healed. Be healed. Be healed. I pray for a pain in your eye, and right pain. I pray for a headache to go in Jesus' name. So I pray for knees. If you have a knee problem or a knee pain, can you just lift your hand? And then people next to you operate in your gift and just lay hands on that. If you have a pain in your body, actually, if you just have a pain, can you just lift your hand? There's a healing in the house. Be brave and just lay hands on the person next to you that has that and just command that healing to come into their body and be made manifest by the blood of Jesus. We operate, we stir up the gift of healing, the gift of healing, the gift of healing. I pray for utterance. I pray for the utterance gifts. I pray for interpretation now to be released by your prayer language. I pray that there would be a stirring of fire. We just release healing right now. Pray for backs. back pain, lower back pain, specific lower back pain. So we just thank you, Father. We thank you for your word, that the entrance of your word brings light. I thank you for the entrance of your word into our heart. I thank you for the entrance of your word, because you are the word and you dwelt among us. Just come and dwell on our temple. Come and move inside of us and rearrange us. Thank you for the word of faith. And thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your gifts that we get to unwrap so we could read people's hearts back to them and remind them who they are in you. Wow, God. To breathe a love language on someone that doesn't believe it themselves is... there's no greater privilege, Papa, to love authentically and to dive in deeply and to risk it all, to be passionate in the pursuit, because you were in a hot pursuit after us. You pursue us with an everlasting love, and you crave us with loving kindness. Mercy and goodness are always following us because of your faithfulness. Oh, God. As we break and we go to lunch, may we be so stewarding and attentive and honoring to what you are speaking by the whisper. And may we incline our ear, and may we not try to discern it away or define it by earthly understanding, because we pray in our understanding and we pray with our spirit. I pray that we would not be unattached. We would not disengage and go out of here, but we would know that we are led by the Spirit and we are a spirit. And we would just hear our spirit cry to you as we eat, Father. So we bless you, Jesus. We honor you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sanction Love Podcast. Our desire is to bring the ratifying love, the binding force of love, to individuals with the purpose of increasing intimacy, freedom, and identity in Christ. Please check us out on our website, sanctionlove.com, and all of our social media platforms. We would love you to consider partnering with us in taking the ratifying love around the globe. Thank you for listening.